All right, now everybody act normal. They're watching now. Okay, so Romans chapter 5. And guys, I want to tell you, I said it in Sunday school, and I'm going to say it here. We're in a very dangerous place because I've got two Bibles and some notes. But it's okay. God's in charge. We've been here for several weeks. And, you know, we spent months, probably into maybe over a year, spending time talking about the life of Christ, his birth, the prophecies before his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. And does everybody agree what a wonderful, beautiful, fabulous story, what he's taught and what the healings, all of that. Does everybody say that was a good story? Okay. Took us a while to get through it. Okay. That's okay. But all that story is for what we're talking about today. He said, I came here to die for you. That's why he came. And don't get me wrong, that doesn't take away from anything he taught. That doesn't take away from anybody who was healed. I'm going to tell you, when you're sick and he heals you, salvation's wonderful, but you feel better then. When you're hungry and he multiplied the food, did that fix the problem right then? Okay, but watch this, guys. He came so that we might have life with him forever, because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it without him. Some of y'all are pretty good people, independent of that. And some of us aren't. Okay, but the reality is this. Jesus died on the cross that you might have life eternally with him. So that's the focus of this church. That's the focus of this service. And that's going to be the focus of my ministry. So here's the deal. Romans chapter 5. Now we're in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates. How many of y'all like a demonstration? Show me the money. Show me the whatever. Show me. Okay. People can say a lot of stuff. Well, you know what? This is the best so-and-so I've ever had. You know, you can watch TV and you got the best flashlights. You got the best this. You got the best that. These pants, I've never fed any pants this good. What? Right? Show me. Demonstrate to me. Okay? But God demonstrates our goodness and how well we are at following rules. No, it don't say that. And there's a reason. Because you're not good and you're not good at following rules. Demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that what Paul says? Yes. Okay. Much more then, having now been justified. Now, remember what that word, we looked that up. We spent time on it 2 or 3 weeks ago or whatever. That means when my checkbook was in the red and now it's in the black, it's now paid. We are now have money to draw from. You now have grace to draw from. He justified by what? By our ceremonies, by us having the tallest steeple, by us having a gym for people to work out in, which we need a gym. But the point being is this. For me, have an airplane fly back and forth to blue eyes. Speak to them sinners. No. Okay. But no, here's the deal. Not for that reason, but having now been justified by what? His blood. And we just celebrated that today. Joey did a great job in communion. And I want to tell you something. The bottom line is we are justified. We celebrate that every week because he paid it all. He paid it all. And does that mean we go out and go crazy? No, I hope not. Bail money's getting low. Okay. We shall be saved from wrath through how? Through my goodness? No, through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved. I love that word. A lot of people talk about surrender. A lot of people talk about, you know, and I love all those words. They're all descriptive terms. Covenant. I love covenant. We've talked for years about covenant. But I love the word saved. Because when you do a water rescue, and the people are out there, and the water's getting higher and higher, and they're holding their kid over their head, and you go out there with a boat, and you put them in a deal, they're not saying, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? I think your breath stinks. Not one time has that ever happened. What happens is they say, thank you, I'm saved. Can we do that? Can we be a body that says, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Instead of saying, well, I'm more saved than you are. Because you know them Presbyterians or, you know, them Methodists or them Assemblies of God or them whatever's. Whatever ain't us. Okay. Actually, we got some of all that in here. I better be quiet. Okay. So, but I got a little bit of that all in me. You know? I'll never forget Bob Hayes. Me and him was talking in the front yard over some tomatoes one day. And he brought me some tomatoes, praise God. And he's gone to be Jesus now. I'd just taken this church 20 years ago, 21 years ago now. Bob says, well, Bruce, you had to jump a few fences to get there, didn't you? To the Christian church? I said, no, not really. He said, well, wasn't you? I said, yeah. Didn't you go to Evangel? Yeah. And I said, he said, well, you know, them fences seem to be getting lower and lower, don't they? And man, I don't see a fence anymore. I just see brothers and sisters in the Lord. So watch this. We're reconciled and we're saved by his life. Not only that, do we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We're reconciled. And I love that word, reconciliation. Okay. We're going to come back to Romans, but I want to tell you what happens every time anybody in the world begins to preach about Jesus Christ dying for your sins and paying the complete price for your sins. You don't have to do it on Tuesday. You don't have to wear white socks and black shoes. You don't have to sacrifice this. You don't have to. And we're going to go to the Word of God right here, Acts chapter 15. And I want to tell you, the Lord gave me this week, and I didn't even really want to talk about that. But here's the deal. There's always going to be some kind of set person that comes behind us and says, Jesus and. Jesus salvation and. Jesus salvation and. You got to go to this church. You got to do it this way. You can't go to Walmart on Sunday because you're making them work. Whatever. Girls in pants. It don't matter. You know, everybody needs to wear a hairnet. I would appreciate it when you're cooking my hamburger. Other than that, I mean, I'm serious, guys. There's always something. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, this is 15 and 1, by the way, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. These were Gentiles. They're like, what? Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, isn't that a nice way to say that? I don't know if there's guns drawn or not, but, well, that was pre-gunpowder, but anyway, the point is, no small dissension. So that, what's the opposite of small? Large, okay, yeah, which I hadn't wore small in a long time, okay, but dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. Now let me ask you a question. I just wonder when we started Americanizing Christianity. Probably like day two we was in this country. And you're a Christian if, you're a Christian if, you're a Christian when, you're a Christian this. I want to tell you something. If it's free, if Jesus paid the price, when did we start being the hall monitors over salvation? Because everybody's an expert. If you don't believe it, everybody's got a keyboard. They're keyboard commandos. I could put on there right tomorrow that Jesus is died for my sins and God's a good God. And the next thing there'd be 17 people saying, well, you know, the Bible says, he ain't that good. Okay, whatever. So they're praying with these people. They're getting saved. And they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect, S-E-C-T, some of the division of Pharisees who believe rose up saying, it's necessary to circumcise them and go command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, see, here's what I always want to tell you. Religion has worked so well in the past. That's why we need to keep after it. It's worked so well. It's caused wars all over the world. It's caused, you know, religion works so well. You know, at one point, they were killing people for the size of their noses in Africa. You know, I mean, do you remember that? Well, I mean, it was a few years ago. The Hutus and the Katutus or the Hutus or whatever. Religion works so well. I mean, you know, people killing each other because they're not. It's worked so well through the years. And at one point in Europe, they're putting people on the rack and burning them at the stake. Hasn't it worked great for us so far? No. I don't want religion. I want relationship. I want covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what this book points me toward. Now, I want to tell you, there's a demon called a religious demon that is always pointing out something. Well, you know, if you don't believe it, if you like to laugh, I mean, there's a guy up there preaching the other day. Well, you know, the reason the world's the way it is because of men got them beards. We look just like the world. And I'm thinking, man, if shaving would save me, I'd have shaved better a long time ago. No, I'm serious. Well, the problem is this. The problem is that. No, the problem is we don't have Jesus. We don't allow Jesus to fill us with his Holy Spirit and reflect the truth, the love, the grace, the mercy, and the purity of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The reason I'm nice to y'all is because God said, you are my brother. He died on the cross. How am I going to treat you bad? He died on the cross for you. How am I going to do that? And I don't do it perfectly. I don't even do it well some days. But the bottom line is, here's the deal. It goes on. They go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the most troubled city there's ever been in history. And the name of it is Jerusalem, the place of peace. But in this place of peace, I want you to come to this place to peace. This scripture is screaming to some of you this morning. So apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. You know how they ended up with the giraffe was a committee trying to design a horse. And you know, some people thought they needed a longer neck. Some people thought they needed to be taller. But when there had been much dispute, there we go. Not a little dispute, much dispute. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word and gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, and acknowledges them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and make no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by what?
Faith.
Oh, there you go. You know what that means? It means believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose again, pay the price by his own blood. Therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke? Now remember what the yoke is in that the yoke is the teaching of the rabbi. The yoke is the law. On the neck of the disciples who neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Why did we have sacrifices in the temple? Because nobody's perfect. I mean, there's nobody perfect. And it had to be a sacrifice. And then Jesus pays a sacrifice. And they're saying, well, we got to keep doing that. Okay. And guys, I want to tell you that spirit is still alive and well. Go to verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. A long time ago. Math are hard. I was in a meeting and I saw something. And what I saw was, it was in Atlanta. Let's say 30 years ago. Years are getting mixed up here. It was called the Promise Keepers Pastors Conference. And what I saw, remember where I'm from and the history of the South. And as I was there, I saw Native American pastors coming to the front. I saw black pastors coming to the front. I saw Arab pastors coming to the front. I saw nationalities of all kinds coming to the front. And it's something they had just done beforehand. They'd already lined all this up. And then they got on the platform. And then the speaker, the leaders of that organization washed their feet. And I will never forget realizing the unity that is possible if we choose it. Instead of pointing fingers, we reach out our hands. And here's the deal, guys. That spirit is still alive and well between the denominations, between the races, between all of these things. And it will divide us every way. And I will not be divided from people who proclaim Christ. I will not be divided. They may not like me, but I'm going to love them. I'm going to. And here's the deal. We believe that through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. And all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders of God he had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James and Andrew saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and with this the words that the prophets agree, just as it's written. Everybody says, oh, that's the Old Testament. You know, there ain't but one Bible. There's only one God. And you don't be counting how far it is from your house to church and wonder if that's too far to travel on the Sabbath, which is really Saturday anyways. But anyway, the point being is this. After this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does these things. Do you see that written? Amos 9:11. Amos prophesied that a long time before he could have known, right? Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but to write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses had, through many generations, those who preached in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Can we make up our mind this morning? Can we decide this morning in this room and those watching today that we're going to seek the kingdom of God with our brothers and sisters and do what God's called us to do instead of pointing fingers, reaching out our hands? And I'm going to tell you something. I've got the best wife in the world. I'm not kidding. I've got the best wife in the world. And she happens to be in here. That's why I'm saying it out loud. Getting them points. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But I can tell you that Kim and I may agree 80% of the time. And 20%, she said yes, so that's a good, you know. But 20% of the time, I'm right and she's wrong. But, oh, three people are shaking their head no. Anyway, whatever. Okay, let's say we might disagree on something 20% of the time. But I'm going to tell you something. God, she is a gift from God to me. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have to agree on everything. What we agree on is the love we have for each other. And that 20%, yeah, you know, that's passing. If I got an 80 when I was in high school, man, I was prime time. Praise the Lord. I was shooting for a 70, but sometimes I aimed high and got an 80. Camden High School, and I was quite a panther. Okay, anyway. So, Ephesians is in the Bible also, in case you thought I forgot it. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He's saying, you know, think about what he could have said. I'm going to get a rag here. Think about what he could have said. Aren't I something for choosing God? No. What he said was, by the will of God, I'm an apostle. Okay. To the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How about grace and peace? Anybody like them two words? Now, I was with the Methodist pastor yesterday, Wayne Blaze, and we was giving a peace sign. Okay, you can see that on Instagram or whatever. So, blessed be, oh, we both had our 70s outfits on. It's very attractive. Okay. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's there. Is it there? Is our blessings there? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you think that's because you've been perfect? Absolutely not. And Paul knew it well. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ, Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. How about grace, peace, adopted, accepted? You like those words? You know, right now there's struggle all over the world. People want to be accepted. They want to be accepted. Did you know when you look at the basic psychological needs of people, they need to have a tribe. And Christ offers a tribe, an unending tribe. And people need that. Accepted and beloved. In him, we have redemption through how? Our works? Because we're good? Is that what it says? Because y'all been good. That's why y'all are accepted. That's why you're redeemed by his blood. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. I better look at the watch. It's actually the right time this morning. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, here's the bottom line, guys. I have acquaintances and friends who did not have my mama, who looked at every price tag on everything in the world. One of my favorite things, one of my favorite memories is me and Greg and her walking through. It's after Dad was gone. We're walking through the Walmarts, and She loves nuts. No, I don't mean people. I'm talking about like peanuts, mixed nuts, whatever. And I'd race up there and get those nice mixed nuts. She'd say, put them nuts back, them $7. Okay. Of course, she was raised on dirt floors and a path, and it was hard for her to, you know, blow the hair out of that wallet sometimes, like her son. But anyway, but the point being is this. Look at what it says here. Here's the deal. Who is rich in grace. And I know people who shall remain nameless, that they don't look at the price at the menu. They don't look at the price. They don't look at it. And you know why? Because they ain't worried about it. Because they know it's paid for. They got the money to pay for it. They don't get the petite sirloin, okay? But here's the point, guys. God is rich in grace. And here's the thing. What he's shown me, and I'm going to close with this. This is what he's shown me. The more grace that I am willing to receive from him, the more I've got to give. And if it's because I'm good that he saved me, then you got to be good to be saved. And he picked me for it. He knew I couldn't be good. No, I'm serious. He's making a point here. He knew I couldn't do it right. He knew I couldn't keep my cheese on the cracker. He knew all that, okay? He knew me before I was born, bless his heart. But the point being is this, I know it's grace that saves me because I'm a perfectionist. There's not one person in this building I couldn't examine your life and just tell you everything is wrong with it. And if you think it's bad for me and on a person outside of me, you ought to be me inside of me, okay? But the bottom line is there is no perfection except through his blood. Amen. And the sacrifice has been made. And he's asking you this morning, if you're watching or you're here, will you receive that sacrifice? Yes, I'm going to. And I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to be like a lottery winner. I'm going to tell everybody I get to, or somebody that's, you know, found out where the cheapest deal is on Harley parts. I'm going to tell everybody, because the bottom line is this, guys. God is good and he loves you. And he wants to redeem you, save you. And you say, well, if that's true, then why is my life like this? Because in this life, there will be trouble. There will be. And, you know, if it had been Bruce and Kim instead of Adam and Eve, we'd still be in trouble. Wouldn't have been Kim's fault. I'd have been the one nibbling. I'm still looking for them brownie points. Anyway. But here's the deal, guys. Paul, just that. We'll do a summary and we'll quit. Anytime that anybody starts saying grace without works, somebody is going to raise up and say, no, no. The Bible says this, the Bible says this. Listen, the wages of sin is, and the gift of God is, through how? Jesus Christ our Lord. You hearing me? And here's the deal. There's always going to be somebody that says, yeah, but. And listen, we're going to, as we mature through this theological quandary, as we go through this, we're going to find out, hey, guess what? That does not give you a license. I've got a license to drive. Some people wonder, but I do. I have a license to drive. I can present that, and I can drive on states, or, you know, mostly I can drive. But the point being is this. This is not a license to sin. What it is a redemptive, wonderful act by a loving Father. And he has paid the price. But I want to tell you, continue to study the Word, continue to study wisdom, continue to, and make the choices that the Holy Spirit uses that word and says, I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be saying this. I don't need to be watching this. I don't need to. And but to make sure that the focus at the end of that is always Him. Because it's so easy to say the problem is so-and-so. The problem is so-and-so. And I could preach, you know, a series on the problem is, and just picking out things in our culture and all this stuff. That's the problem. That's not the problem. Look in the mirror. That's the problem. We can all find a different way of seeing it. But here's the deal. He paid for that, but it's not a license for us to walk in iniquity. So let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. You are the God who is enough. Your sacrifice is enough. Lord, your power is enough. You are enough. And so, Lord, let us recognize that, walk in that, let our peace be in that. And then, Lord, let the fruit of us being connected to the vine. Connected, Lord. Connected. And, Lord, draw from you and let us become the men and women you've called us to be in your grace and through your love. Because the rest of it, Lord, is just beaten on a cymbal. So, Father, we love you. We give our lives to you. And Father, let us fulfill our destiny on this planet and then be with you forever. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.